and neither of you two have much need for hairspray the rest of the time. It would last you a long while.
What sort of doctor does knees?
Either have to have sawdust in your pockets and half a tree, or you're getting banged up straight away.
Thigh power you should be using to crush your rivals is definitely going to be one of those excerpts that Mark uses in the intro.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to this week's Single Track World podcast. I'm Hannah, and today I have with me...
Benji, Howarth, middle name James.
Bond. And my other mystery guest is...
Is Chips Chippendale, middle name Henry and James. First name not Chip, but... Anyway, we'll move on.
I didn't do my surname or my middle name. I don't like my middle name.
Oh, what is your middle name?
Molly.
Well, that's something I didn't know.
Yeah, it's all a bit girly-whirly.
Molly, right, okay.
Yeah, doesn't feel like it suits me at all. So, yeah, and well, actually neither does my surname.
Molly Ringwald.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, on from our names, we're here to talk about bikes. Start with the stewing debate that we've been waiting for the three of us to get together for, which is crank lengths.
Oh, hugely.
All right, yeah.
Hard-fought yeah. Crank lengths.
Well,
probably not
that. I said that I wished that the bike I was riding had shorter cranks. And Chip said, "What? Why would you want that?" Or something like that.
Yes, and what you wanted, what, 165s, 160s even?
165s would do, but yeah.
Right.
What? But definitely shorter. And Benji went, yeah, because science, and there. So that, I've summarised it, and everyone can just log off, go home, and ride bikes now.
Well, crank lengths, I don't know, it's a funny one, isn't it? It's, I think... I can understand the debate if we're in a velodrome with no gears and no braking, kind of. But leverage comes from your drivetrain, doesn't it? So you do have to change it. If you go down in crank length, it's a good idea to also go down in chainring, maybe, or up in cassette size.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 12 gears to choose from. So I don't think it's particular. And I think I'd rather have the ground clearance.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your need for shorter cranks, Hannah? Is it a ground clearance thing?
So it's predominantly a ground clearance thing when it comes to mountain bikes, yes. I think that I would rather have the ground clearance so I can keep on pedaling and spinning. But there are other kind of ergonomic benefits to be had, I think.
Mm.
Because when you've got shorter cranks, you make smaller circles with
yes.
your feet. So the range of movement that your knee and hip needs to go through is smaller. And if you were to imagine taking a really long, like extreme crank, then the range of movement that you would be putting your in my case, particularly a hip through, would be like time trial levels of like compression, putting your knee up to your chest kind of thing. Yeah. And that is bad for my hip and my hip condition that I have. So I think that having shorter cranks, generally reducing the amount of movement that my knees and hips need to go through, is good, as well as not hitting
now. Yeah,
rocks
now
and
we've
woods.
Got the now we've got cassettes that are bigger than what did it used to be? The biggest one used to be like 32, didn't it?
Well,
and even before that, it was 28.
I was thinking that, you know, maybe my sort of long seated crank length prejudice comes from, I guess my, you know, old school upbringing, where in the early days, your lowest gear was if you were lucky, was like 24, 28 or something, 28 on the back. And so you really didn't have that low gear, and you needed the extra leverage to just turn the pedals over. And then obviously that then got influenced by my foray into single speeding for 10 years, where I know that Kona came out with a production bike that had 180 cranks on.
Yeah.
Being
clipped in is a bit different as well, isn't it? Because she's already on flat pedals. You got a lot of, what's that called? I don't know. You're wider, aren't you? You got more to whack into the ground because you got little spuds, although they're possibly deeper than a flat pedal. It's the width of flat pedals. And I think on e-bikes, which is the bike you've been... No, you've not been riding an e-bike, have you? But I've noticed that wasn't the issue back then, was it? That was a normal one. E-bikes can be a thing, and I think they try and explain it as being... because I don't know why, but it's nothing to do with them being lower down or anything like that. I think it's the Q factor. If you look down, you're like John Wayne, aren't you, on a lot of e-bikes?
Well, I think on a lot of e-bikes, you keep pedalling, so you don't... you don't do the little half crank, quarter crank thing as you go over an obstacle on an e-bike, because you get that disproportionate kind of drop off in speed and momentum because of the weight of the bike and things. So when you're on an e-bike, you sit down and you just keep spinning and spinning and spinning, even if you're going up and over technical stuff. Whereas on a mountain bike, there's a good chance you'd be standing by that point anyway. And so then you kind of put your pedals level and you hop and you skip and you do little quarter cranks and stuff to get up and round and over things, because you're not just sitting there spinning those full circles. And so then on an e-bike, you tend to whack your cranks if they're longer, because you're doing that full revolution all the time and you're not kind of timing it to the terrain in the same way. So then they've started fitting shorter cranks.
Yeah,
in a lot of instances, and I think that's a sensible move.
I don't know what the Q factor is actually, but it's just one of those things that they don't talk about on e-bikes. But it's quite significantly wider, I think.
There is a chunky, great big motor in the middle, isn't there? So
yeah. And but also, they should talk about it, because it's like wide Q factor is like a reason I prefer wide Q factor. Why we have to be obsessed with having narrow Q factors?
Is that
or
not
weirdness reason?
Well, is that not also a hip efficiency thing? That because your legs, or you know, your feet are a foot apart, I guess, at rest.
Yeah.
The wider your feet are when you're pedaling in a triangle, I suppose.
Well, it could be that we've always had the Q factor's been far too narrow for 100 years. just because that's what it was. No science has ever gone into a bicycle, really. It's always been about paring them down, hasn't it?
No, not really. And, but your,
well, I don't know.
I mean, your knee joints particularly are designed on, you know, they bend in one direction. They're not like a hip where they move in all directions. And so, I guess the closer you can have your Q factor to be as wide as your hips are, I guess. Something, I don't know. But then hips are quite wide, so yeah, I don't know.
I've definitely had it on some bikes where I've noticed that the Q factor is too wide and it is really uncomfortable, particularly on your knees. And Amanda's had it. In fact, she was writing about it in the members feature that she put up on Saturday, where she took her mountain bike shoes on her gravel riding holiday, and the difference in the Q factor really aggravated her knees because of the the stance in the mountain bike shoes was completely different to on the gravel shoes that she would usually ride.
Well, so she has her cleats set wider in the shoe, more to the inside of the... That, and there's not really that much movement in a in an SPD. Not really. There's maybe 3 or 4 mil.
But the shoes are wider, aren't they? Like if you she had like enduro style mountain bike shoes, which have more shoe on the inside of your toe, if you like, compared to the skinny, grody, gravelly shoes like a cross country shoe would be, which are have less on the inside of your toe. So if you then put your cleats in, your enduro ones are sort of further out. Your feet are further out than they are on a cross country one where you.
I'll have to measure some some shoe soles and find out because I'd never particularly.
Yeah, weird, isn't it? I think it's hard to work out what does what on that. I can't fathom it. But yeah, it's just like SPDs look like. What sort of doctor does knees? Do they have a name?
Orthopedic surgeons, isn't it?
Yeah, look like. I imagine they're not keen on SPDs.
Yeah, although you know there are people who run, you know, time pedals and Crank Brothers similarly for the float. And I think that's possibly overblown because your regular Shimano PD, you can't have a Shimano pedaling dynamic. Anyway, your regular clip-in pedal from Shimano, there's so much kind of rattle and slack in the system. It's not like a road pedal where you are clipped in and your heels don't move at all, because on an SPD, there is a fair amount of movement because... Your feet can kind of, I mean, I pedal a bit wonky anyway with a lot of weight on the outside of my foot, and I have no problems with SPDs just because there's that much rattle in them that your foot sort of finds its natural position. But I imagine
it depends it depends how your feet move and your ankles move and stuff, doesn't it? Like you see some people pedaling and they have really weird like a kick in their knee or a kick in their heel or something.
Rubbing paint off the top tube.
Yeah, like how the hell are these people not having their knees and joints replaced, you know, every 100 miles that with a gait like that, and yet it seems to work for them. The biomechanics are all different and personal. So so it probably depends quite what weirdness you've got in your ankles and your knees as to which cleats or flats or whatever work for you. Like I absolutely cannot clip out sideways. My heels do not move in that direction.
So you have to clip out inwards?
Inwards, yeah. I can't go outwards.
Mm.
Just can't. Yeah, you know, you can sit me on a turbo trainer if you like, and I cannot get my feet out that way.
Unless you're crashing.
Which is very inconvenient if you want to put an emergency foot down.
Can't remember. I do have some clip shoes in the garage. As emergency, should I ever need them?
What would be a clip pedal emergency?
Sprint somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know really.
Hill climb competition.
You had to ride a road bike.
Touring bike, maybe. But then probably not even then. I just don't think there's enough in it. I just like normal shoes.
Whereas I have the opposite problem. My feet physically don't work well with flat pedals because my knees bend inwards. If I've got my feet parallel, my knees bend inwards when I sort of crouch. And so it means that if I'm pedaling with my knees parallel, I've got loads of weight on the outside of my feet edges. And that doesn't work in flat pedals because there isn't that sort of rattle and slack that I get from clipping in, ironically. So the freedom of flat pedals means that just all the weight goes on my little toe edge of my foot, and I end up with massive cramp. So much as I'd love to be a sort of, you know, rad flat pedal throw rider, I don't think it would actually work ergonomically for me. And I've had physios kind of look at my knees and go, well, that's just how they bend. You know, we're not going to fix them because there's, You cope fine, so don't touch it.
So we've strayed from
crank length into
Q factor to pedals.
It's not one of my reviews, but we've got a review of Hope cranks that are really short. I think it might have even been submitted a couple of days ago. Ooh, cool. So I'd have to see what that'll be. Might be out soon, probably.
Right. Well, they like one. But
I think they're 155. I think.
Wow. Mm.
155.
So the other thing that we haven't talked about is that the crank length that suits you, probably in proportion to your legs in some respect. So again, if you thought like in extremes and took your legs and then took a, you know, let's say a 50 centimeter crank length, well, that's going to come halfway up your leg. And so then you're going to have to pedal like really extreme size circles.
But if you have massive legs,
like you're a basketball player or something, then that's going to come up to your shin, isn't it? Instead of your knee. And so the proportion of what somebody can tolerate in terms of like the range of movement that someone's going to have to create is different depending on how tall you are.
You notice it when you're on kids' bikes, don't you? Because my daughter's just gone up to her next hand-me-down bike from her bigger brother, and the crank length's longer. And she's like doing, like kneeing herself in the, not really, but kneeing herself in the chin, and then going all the way down on point just to get around the cranks. And that's what she finds quite tricky, to get your saddle height right then, because it's like it's too high and too low at the same time.
Yeah. So that's another thing you really know, is like you probably need a longer dropper post.
That's the issue I'm having going even shorter. Yeah, is my saddle height goes, if you go to like 160s, when your saddle's at full height, it's all right, but you just feel a bit high, and you have to put your seat post up 10 mil, whatever it is.
Out of interest, do either of you have the figure of your saddle height or your bottom bracket? I used to do it by eye, because, you know, hardtails or short travel suspension bikes, it would be sort of hip height, and then you get on a 6-inch travel bike and it's nowhere near, and you adjust it. So I finally got round to going, okay, I've measured bottom bracket to saddle top, obviously crank length then comes into it, and I suppose I should really measure my, you know, pedal to saddle height, but it's easier just to bottom bracket.
I can't remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember it either.
And I have been asked that actually when it's more of a gravel bike or a road bike thing where you're going to be sat in the same position for 4 hours. And I guess that's also an argument for road bike journalists all turning up with tape measures and three different stems when they go and test bikes, because their argument was, You clip in, you don't move for 4 hours because you're doing a road ride, and then you unclip, and if that position isn't right, then you're in trouble. Yeah. Whereas on a mountain bike, you're always moving around. But I have been asked for my saddle height at bike launches before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have two, and I've run out to the garage and measured one that I know is currently set up comfortably. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I quite often find that I want it set slightly lower when I set off as well, and then I want to put it up a little bit as a kind of warm up and stretch out. Yeah.
I've had that where I've hopped onto my bike and gone, oh, has someone else been riding my bike? This saddle's far too high. And I put the dropper down 10 mil. Mm. And then by the end of the ride, it's like, oh, no, this is perfect.
Yeah. So the other thing that the crank length stuff comes into is because your legs are moving this more extreme or bigger circles, if you've got a longer crank length. Isla of Isla Bikes has done quite a lot of looking at that, particularly from a women's perspective, because she reckons that you're basically creating more flap mash because you're moving around more. So if you're particularly uncomfortable on your saddle, you might want to look at shorter crank lengths. And I guess women are often on the shorter end, and so are maybe more likely to have a crank that is disproportionately long to them as well, if the bikes haven't come that well sized.
It's quite an expensive swap, isn't it? And there's not really much you can do about it. There's no kind of cheat you can do where you get shorter pedals or anything.
You can get kiddie cranks, can't you? What with for tandems?
Yes.
You can get adjustable cranks then. Yeah. That would be somewhat clunky, and you probably would catch even more by way of
because your cranks would be the same length. You just have the holes further up the crank.
I've had certain bikes, suspension bikes with funny seat tubes, like compromised seat tubes, and I've had to, not had to, but I've opted to run certain fat pedals and the brothel creeper style 510s. Impactily.
Oh yes.
To make up the difference.
Right.
So it's not as reachy. So I kind of put Shimano XT flat pedals on and then some impact 510s and it gives you another
inch. Know,
15 mil, it's quite surprising really.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's an argument for changing your saddle height depending on what shoes you're wearing, whether they're carbon sole or whether they're thicker ones, and whether you've got a newer...
I think I have a delivery.
Oh, very nice.
Excuse me?
If you have a newer...
Benji's run off.
He's disappeared.
Locked, isn't it? Hang on.
Oh, he's high security. Oh. Benji Towers.
Hello there. Yeah.
There's a delivery. A live delivery on air. Oh,
what can it be? We can do it.
This is like Fresh Goods Friday.
Cheers,
live.
Oh, only kind of... We can do an unboxing where you can't see what's in the box.
Just an ASMR.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
Was that a good-looking box?
No, it wasn't even a delivery. It was someone asking about window cleaning.
Ah, okay.
Well, that's disappointing.
No, mainly because I think we'll go through the decking at the back and then we'll be sued. At the moment, it's quite crumbly.
Ah, yes.
Anyway.
That is decking's... rolling life, isn't it, to go crumbly?
Yeah.
There's a live unboxing going on outside my house at the minute.
Oh yes.
A live bike building.
Ooh.
Yes. Should I don't know.
What
I don't
is
know.
It?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say because I'm not sure. Yeah. Farjur Freerider is
has he bought some it?
Yes. Your extreme downhill fiance.
It's more, not so much, well, he's somewhat downhill, but it's more like tricks and jumps and free riding stuff.
X-ups and, breaking
flips,
wheels.
Yeah, yeah. He might be out in my garden building an e-gravel bike at the moment. He's gone all the way.
He's gone completely to the dark side.
Which one is it? Do you know? Is it?
It's Cairn. It's
all right, it's been on that. We've been riding a bit of that while we're away. It's quite a small one we've got, but we've all been on that.
Yeah.
Ted's favourite bike.
And there we go. Yeah. Now, so, well, this is his transport.
Okay.
Because, he can't drive in this country much. So.
Because of the convictions?
No. The licensing and the, like, insurance and stuff is a pain in the bum.
Right.
Yes, so
I've just sent
we have
British driver's license off to be swapped.
To be swapped. To be like looked at disapprovingly. Yeah. We have a e-cargo bike between us that is always in demand for transport up and down the valley. And he broke the road bike that he was chasing me on when I was on the cargo bike. So
okay.
He's now got his own electrical conveyance.
E-gravel bikes, I'm not entirely sure on them, because surely the natural speed of a road or gravel bike is a bit more than the 18 miles an hour or whatever you're limited to on a...
Yeah, but then go up a hill in Calderdale and there's quite a lot of them.
I assume it's laden is the idea, isn't it? I wouldn't ride one that isn't weighed down stuff already. I assumed, but I don't know. That's what we've been doing.
I suppose not everyone's in a hurry as well. Not everyone needs to do 20 miles an hour to...
It's very good. I rode it, mate. I just logged a cycle route for a bit in the evening to give it a go.
That must have been quite a sight, because it's like an extra small, isn't it, the one that you've got on test?
It is. Just felt like it's just lethal, aren't they? Really small and, oh my God. You got the stem, and then you've got to go even further forward.
It's like you're riding a drop bar BMX for you, yes. Surely.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, when you get beyond the assistance level, I could really tell. That was pretty good.
Yeah, they are. It's not like you're sort of doing regen braking all of a sudden once you get beyond. I think with the modern motors, they've realised that people want to actually pedal faster than the bike will let them without...
Fatsua.
Yes, please.
Fatsua.
But I think also, like, so the e-gravel bike thing, like, round here, you probably, if you're on the canal, you're probably not whizzing along at 20 miles an hour anyway because there's too many ducks and dog shit in the way and that sort of thing. So it's not the same as being on the road. And then on the road, there's so many potholes and so many hills, you're probably not cruising along at 20 miles an hour either. So, yeah, I think it'll be a...
Yeah, practical. I would imagine once you're trundling along, there's a lot to be said for momentum, isn't it? So like the extra weight might be quite good.
It's not that heavy on its own. Like, yeah, then you can take the battery out if you really wanted to.
Does anyone actually do that?
I did see somebody doing that up Crag Vale on a training ride on a
put it in his bag.
Road bike.
Well, yeah, what, the battery in your bag, yeah.
So, yeah, that's the first time I've seen anyone doing it. I guess if you've got one...
You could do if you had one on charge. I'm just thinking I've just come from campsite. So you could leave it on charge and ride it to the...
Go to the shops.
Nice garage or the pub or something. That'd be all right.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
Good part from, I don't know, the got a slightly bent disc brake and really small rotors are very hard to get straight.
Yes, I'm really having small. An issue with a gravel bike and some adjustable spanners.
Yeah.
Trying to straighten a disc rotor.
Campagnolo, yeah.
Oh, have you got the Campag?
Yeah, I haven't ridden this Campag e-car business. Yeah.
I've got a review that I'm working on at the moment, which is the Farah gravel bike that I had, which had e-car 13-speed Campag, which has the best brakes of, I think, any bike I own. The brakes are astoundingly good.
Yeah, they were good.
Well, that's good and comforting to hear. Yeah.
Well, I couldn't work out. I couldn't work out how the clutch worked at the back, as in how to disengage it or anything like that. But
unclutch
it. To remember. I don't know. It was all right. It's not like it's mega tight, but it was a bit hard to get the wheel back in.
The drifting briefly into the road world, I don't suppose anyone saw the penultimate stage of the Giro d'Italia.
Not live. Kind of.
Is that the one where they got lost?
No, basically, Garen Thomas was in pink. Spoiler alert, but it was weeks ago, so you know if you don't know who won anyway. And there was Roglic and Garen Thomas, and they were 20 seconds apart. And there was this mountain time trial. And don't worry, there is mountain bike content here, kind of. And it was sort of rolling, and they were all on time trial bikes. And then there was this massive kind of concrete track that went up to satellite dish or something at the top, and they were allowed to swap bikes. So you did the first half on your time trial bike, and then you hopped off that, and then you hopped onto your hill climbing bike. So people went to like super light hill climbing bikes, and some people, Garen Thomas swapped his helmet as well from his time trial helmet to his normal helmet. And Primoz Roglic, sponsored by SRAM, he controversially swapped to a bike that had a gravel cassette on. So it had a 10 to 44 cassette instead of the usual, you know, 10 to 30 maybe on a road bike. I don't know what they run. And that was kind of his secret weapon, because this climb was really steep and it had 20% pitches on it. But there was one bit where he was pedaling up, spinning away, and he went over like a water bar and his chain fell off.
Oh.
Because I reckon they got a gravel cassette, but he was just running a road mech without a clutch. And so then he had to stop and reinstall his chain.
And somewhere in SRAM, all the engineers were going, but no, it's a system. It works together. No.
Yeah. So I think, you know, if you're going to adopt some controversial new tech, then go all the way and make sure you've got all the bits, not just. Anyway, sorry, that was a bit of a system thing. But he still won because he was that much.
Oh, he did still win.
He did still win.
It's like road racing. It's kind of like, it's not the Formula One of cycling, is it? It's like the caterer enthusiasts.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like it's sort of classic rallying in the, well, you know, this is what we used in the 60s and stuff. And it took a long time for disc brakes to get adopted. I had heard that one of the reasons that's where we came from was Campag. One of the reasons that Campag were very slow to develop disc brakes, and there would be situations where you'd have the peloton in the wet and there would be a crash or some incident, and 2/3 of the peloton, the ones with Shimano and SRAM disc brakes, would slow down quickly, and all the Campag riders would then plow into the back of the of the other riders because they couldn't slow down quite as quick. And so Campag were like, oh, all right, we'll do disc brakes. And you know, it's not what Fausto Coppi would have wanted, but all right then. But one of the sticking points with the road riders adopting discs was there was this great fear that they were going to amputate fingers because we all crash all the time on our road bikes, and we don't want to stick our fingers into disc brakes and lose our fingertips, which I don't think I've ever seen.
There's nothing round and metal spinning around on a bike already.
Yeah.
But flat bladed spokes, then, ooh, by that count, surely those should be banned.
Outlawed.
If we're worried about our fingers.
So,
it's how much racing, this is the same as down as well, how much racing isn't up for adopting new stuff is like racing develops the sport. It does in some degree, but then if you left it to like Greg Minnaar, would still be on his orange, wouldn't he?
Yes.
So it works. I'm not changing anything, just sticking with this. I'd be the same. Right, I know what I'm doing. They don't really want to change anything.
And that's the issue with good racers, is that they can make anything go fast.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of the engineers at Fox, and he was saying that the top 10 downhillers, they just run whatever they run. The people who help them develop better products are the guys and women who are, you know, 12th to 25th. They're the ones who go, right, I need, where can I get 4 seconds back on this course? Maybe I haven't got the talent or the bravery or whatever to do that. I want every single technological advance I can get. So they're the ones who are, you know, clipping tire treads and trying experimental fork setups, because they're the ones who want to risk maybe not doing as well, which is the issue that the racers have got, is my setup works fine. I won the last race. Why do I want to change anything? And you've got the sort of baying hordes of the 10th to 20th who want any advantage they can get, who will try experimental, you know, not running a peak or running slick tires or whatever.
Mm. Anyway, okay, so Chips, what's caught your eye over the last week or so on the bike news front?
Oh my God. I must admit, I've been completely distracted by searching for new trail tools.
Oh.
Because I'm a massive fan of the BTR trail rake, which I've been using a lot. But I've gone down the rabbit hole of massive folding saws, which there's the Silky Katana or Katana Boy, maybe, which is a it's a folding saw that it costs like 270 quid, and it's got a 50 centimeter blade, and it's a folding, basically it's a meter long penknife. It's quite impressive.
It's probably legal in France, but not in the UK.
I think it's one of those, you either have to have sawdust in your pockets and half a tree, or you're getting banged up straight away.
So, but you're going for the folding saw option rather than the pocket chainsaw type option with like two handles and a chain in between.
I think they are prone to sort of cheap knockoffery. So you can get, I mean, I have one of those and it's all right, but the only one you want is probably a real chainsaw chain that's properly sharpened, that someone's just welded two handles on the end of. Because I think the sort of, you know, the £19 from Amazon is kind of prone to failure on the first go, a bit like the cheap folding spades.
Yeah. No, I was thinking more along, I think Nordic that Lion Outdoor do. I think a posh chainsaw in a pocket.
Yeah, I think a posh one is definitely worth it. But like anything, you know, the cheap folding. I bought a cheap folding spade from Amazon and it broke the first time I used it, having lugged it up a hill for 45 minutes or something. It went tink and the handle fell off. Oh. So yes, so now I've got a Glock folding spade, which is very good.
Glock.
Yeah.
So my folding spade is about it a long time. I think it's Swedish Army or something.
Yeah.
Been going a few years.
Yes. If you're not worried about weight, and that's a great thing about e-bikes, is just being able to take a massive rucksack full of clunking tools up to a trailhead and do some trail maintenance. I was thinking no one's ever complained about trail maintenance. I think trail building people complain about, especially if it's not your wood or whatever. But I think if someone finds you clipping back some of the hawthorns, they won't go, "What are you doing here? Those hawthorns have a right to clog across the trail at neck height." So I think active, maybe aggressive trail maintenance is allowed.
Well, I am on the, as of this morning, actually, I'm on the going to go and do some handguard pseudo shopping because...
Brush guards. Yeah.
Yeah, my knuckles have a hard life.
The things
from now until August.
Yes. I've looked with sort of puzzlement at sort of Nico Vuyas' bike and things, and then you go, actually, they're a really good idea. Not having to kind of mash your knuckles through saplings and nettles.
It's ferns, isn't it? Ferns and bloody brambles are horrible anyway, but ferns and stingers, they're good to get rid of them. You can have some that are easy on, easy off. That's what I'm looking for.
Yes.
I've already asked a distributor for... I've done this a lot recently. I've asked them for something they don't do. I've confused them with someone else. I've confused AVS with AMS or something. So there we go.
Ah, yes. Okay. Are they now going to make some? Just for you?
I don't know. Is it Send Hit? They're probably going to... Or someone else does them.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, okay. So the latest... I think I predicted the return of handguards in one of my New Year's predictions a couple of years ago. I'm usually 2 years in advance, actually. So I should go back in time.
We'll watch carefully this Christmas, see what's coming out in 2025.
Yes.
I think they might be quite good in winter for warmth.
Wind chill?
Yeah.
I think you have some really big ones then, though.
It's interest. Well, that's kind of the pseudo thing, isn't it? You get big handguards. It can only help. But I know what they're easy on and off because they need to go on different bikes every 5 minutes. It's not really a real world request.
Oh, something I did get this week is, and I know Benji's a fan, is some push-on grips, some non-lock-on ODI attack grips, which are fab. I've always had a soft spot for them since they were Tomac attack grips. And
have you put them on? Have you installed them?
No. I've installed them. I tend to have a squirt of brake cleaner inside the grip and slide them on.
I've only stuck since Bike Mag RIP Ryan, was it? He did a tip of
stopping them. Parcel tape, was it?
Yeah, which I couldn't really understand when you read it, when you hear it. Parcel tape, what does that mean? You go like that. You put a layer of parcel tape on your handlebars before you start, and that gives you a totally fairly un-ingressible layer for them to go in.
Right.
It's the shot peening on alloy bars that the water gets in.
Yeah, which is like a micro sort of golf ball surface that the...
Yeah. That so if you've got carbons, you're fine. So push-ons on carbons, fine. And then you... But if you got like normal, fairly shot peeny alloy handlebars, you get water ingress and they start spinning.
So yes.
Layer of parcel tape underneath and I put them on with... Yeah, I'd use disc brake cleaner. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Because there was a sort of, put them on with hairspray and things, but that just leaves sticky mess everywhere. Spray mount.
Well, yeah, just that.
And neither of you two have much need for hairspray the rest of the time. It would last you a long while.
That's just offensive. Well, no, good, because I've gone back on, because I've ridden squidgy, like, push-ons that are, like, not massive from Gusset, I think they are. Good. And then gone back on particularly egregious grips from like Canyon or something like that. They're just like awful. Like the massive, massive lock-ons and rock hard.
Yes, I've complained about those in every review. I told the designer I was going to continue to complain about them.
It's horrible. But other people as well, like the, just when they're on e-bikes, that's what we're doing in the issue now. Is the ones that came on the high bike were the same. So, yeah. Rock hard and massive. So, yeah, good.
And the difference between a massive grip and a thin grip is about 2 mil.
Mm.
I think, you know, someone at QBP once measured all of their grips with a micrometer and it was, you know, the skinny ones were 31 mil and the ultra fat ones were 33.5 or something. There's not much in it, but because we're talking diameters and circumferences and all that, there's a bigger difference in your hand feel. So
if you get the Renthals, like Laurie Greenland, I mean, I see Laurie Greenland win some this season. He always uses Renthal push-ons.
Yeah.
And they're skinny and push-on, so they're probably like 28 mil.
Right. Are they the super really sticky?
Dink. I was going to say, are they the ones that are like petting a slug?
Depends what she uses. Yeah.
Those squishy, was it an octopus you used to get as a toy?
Yes.
In the 70s, we'd throw it in a window and it would walk its way down the window.
Until
it fell to the carpet and then got covered in dog hair.
And then covered in fluff, And then you had to clean it with washing up liquid.
Yeah.
So, yes.
That's reminded me, dog hair. I went to see my dad last week.
Yes.
And he had a surprise dog.
Wow.
He's got himself a dog without telling me. And I don't really like dogs, as you know, Chips. But this is a nice dog.
Oh, okay.
It's very small. It's because it's a puppy, I suppose. But I think I might put it in Fresh Goods Friday.
I think you should.
It was popular. There we go. So I have no bike news this week because I've been on holiday playing with a small dog. And,
very good.
Yeah. And taking 4 bikes up to the very far north of Scotland. We didn't actually do the Cape Wrath Challenge, but we did ride to Sandwood Bay and stuff like that.
Oh, you did ride. Oh, that's right then.
Yeah, with the kids, which was nice because my kids are quite good on bikes, even though they don't realise it. You know, you're going, just be careful of the big rocky steps or something. They're already down the other side.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Come on, catch up. Oh,
they've already done it. They've jumped every water bar. Yeah, fine. So that was cool. Hot tip for all the potential holiday makers listening in their fancy VW vans with pop-up tops. The mesh in a VW van is bigger than the Scottish midge.
So how did you deal with that then?
My kids slept in the top.
Oh, in long sleeve tops with hoodies on.
And we went somewhere windy enough to not have midges. Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, is there anything else? What, Benji, were you at work? No, you were off.
I was in for Monday, Tuesday. Monday was bank holiday, wasn't it? So just in for Tuesday.
Mm. Well, this is just like the total downtime bank holiday week off edition. There's nothing professional about this podcast at all.
Just passed it all to Amanda to do.
Yes, I've just been reading her review of the Reverb Axis seat post, which is on the site at the moment, which is very good. And I have to agree with her. I think it's, despite its eye-watering cost, it's a fantastic product because it, I think even more so than electric gears, because electric gears, ergonomically, you're still sort of moving your thumb and you're pressing you're clicking a mouse. Instead of doing a sort of ballpoint pen clicker on your SRAM gears or whatever. But I think the dropper post, because on a physical, mechanical dropper post, you have to move your thumb a fair way and it's quite a big movement, usually at a time of peril where you're like, oh, I need the saddle out of the way now. And I think just the ergonomics of having a mouse click dropper post is really good because you end up using it so much, down 20 mil, up 30 mil, down 100 mil, all the way down, all the way up, and it works very, very well, and you don't realize how much you use it until you go back to a mechanical dropper and you've got that big throw of the thumb lever and then you're like, oh, I can't be bothered to move my saddle up an inch for the sake of this next section, but I'll just live with it. And it's sort of possibly vaguely justifiable if you have two bikes with the same size seat post size where you can just pull it out of one and put it in the other. I think that's a tenuous justification, but I think if you can afford it, it's definitely, I would rather have that than electric gears if I had to pick one or the other. Discuss. There you go, maybe. Don't want to open
I've
up
had,
another...
I always talk about e-bikes. We've got loads of e-bikes at the moment, and there's two that have... you have... Because it's quite a circuitous route for the cable to go, probably, around the motor and around the battery and blah-de-blah. And they're quite low-endish droppers. You get sore thumb very quickly.
Yes.
Well, two of them at the moment. Good. Oh, well, they're going to be Maguro having another go, aren't they? I think there'll be a revised Veyron soon.
Veyron, yeah.
Yeah, which is good. I don't know whether it's going to go down at the push of a button. That's what they used to, didn't it, ages ago? You could lower it without sitting on it, I think.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, the Mark 1 was, because that was the weird thing about the whole delay. It was like, and then would... Someone was operating a portcullis somewhere.
Yes.
Going down. No, I'm on it now. It's too late. But yeah, it's good to get some rivals. And I think TransX doing one, I noticed, in some... I don't know.
Oh, yes.
There's a Eurobike soon, isn't it? Isn't that soon? Yep. Is that Eurobike's June?
It is in 2-3 weeks. 2.5 weeks.
Cool.
So
there'll be a few more wireless things coming out.
Yes.
I think people have gone for it. Enough people have gone for the idea. I think we'll see more of it.
A couple of years ago, I did see dropper posts which were wired to an e-bike battery. So they were electric, but wired, but electric. So that kind of made a reasonable amount of sense if you've got that sort of plumbing anyway in your bike. So,
and did BMC not have some sort of...
Yes.
Dropper post shop.
There was the seat
thing,
post.
Like it was like all mounted in together, like go into downhill mode or uphill mode. I can't
lockout and
So it's a single lever kind of dropped your saddle, but only 80 mil maybe, and unlocked your shocks because you were obviously descending. And the argument for it only being an 80 mil drop is if you had 150 mil drop, then you, to get it to go down, you physically have to sit on the saddle and push it down. So you're then doing a squat back to get back up to riding height. And so that's thigh power you could be using for crushing your rivals. And so if you're dropping your saddle, whatever, 50 times a lap, or 20 times a lap, you're doing 20 squats when really you should be using that energy to win.
Thigh power you should be using to crush your rivals is definitely going to be one of those excerpts that Mark uses in the intro.
Yes, I think so, along with road racing being Caterham racing, a classic rallying of the bicycle world. So, yes.
Well, does that neatly bring us to the end? now that we've given Mark the beginning.
I think so. And coincidentally, Mark is actually staying with me this week. So
make sure he has a bloody nice holiday.
he's been enjoying himself so far. So there's been food and drink and sunshine. And
good.
Maybe later, bicycles.
Excellent.
Cool.
So yeah.
Make sure he doesn't chop anything off with one of your massive saws.
Okay. Or a disc rotor or something.
Yeah.
Spokes.
Yeah, watch out.
It's very dangerous, this bike riding. Although... I don't know if you can see my little scuff. It won't show on.
No, I can
on
see
the
that.
Radio. Yeah. I was climbing out of a tree, having picked cherries. So that's far more dangerous. That's the worst injury I've had all year. So yeah, be careful of trees.
Climbing. Okay. So I have no injuries from my holiday. I'm pleased to report the tick that I got
once.
Came out without leaving
Hole.
Any horrible.
Yeah.
Head.
Things behind, yeah.
I've got a bit of sunburn from Wales, which is amazing.
Oh, I got sunburn, yeah.
It's not stopping either, is it? It keeps on going. We look at the weather, it's good.
Yeah, and now we're sunburned, we can't go out in it until we stop being tomatoes. Yeah. Okay.
All right then.
All right.
Thank you, you two, for joining me here today. Thank you, people, for listening in to the slightly random We've All Been on Holiday edition. And we'll look back to, forward to, no? Well, God, look sideways.
Looking long, yes.
Lots to look forward to.
To getting back to some kind of, like, rigorous professionalism.
As if. Why start now?
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.